Hello, ladies and gentlemen, theys and thems.
And snails.
That's Britt, she's a beautiful.
And that's John, he's a nerdy.
Welcome back to the Self-Centered Podcast. Last volume of the SpongeBob coverage, where we're trying to get all of the seasons done. We just do a few episodes each episode. We decided pizza delivery, among a couple of others, need their own reviews. So here we are to do pizza delivery. This episode is a little experimental for a couple of reasons. This is a single episode of SpongeBob being talked about over the podcast. And secondly, we're not taking notes. We're actually out in our living room watching the episode, pausing, and then recording the show on the spot.
Right.
So if the audio quality is bad, this may not even be heard compared. But we're kind of just waiting around the house right now anyways, so we figure now is a good time to do a bit of experimentation on the episodes. We'd like to make this better, so please tell us what you think. Either way, we're going to go ahead and get started on this episode, and we'll see you in a minute. So I figure, in order to start the talk about pizza delivery, it should be noted that the pitch bible for the whole show kind of has been shown fairly recently. I think it was this year or last. But it actually reveals that pizza delivery was actually concepted very early. It was in the pitch document.
Yeah.
And so keep in mind, this was possibly even made before Help Wanted in terms of concept. And this shows that Squidward and SpongeBob are definitely the main characters of the show. I think even Patrick's a secondary character compared to them. Obviously, the trio of Patrick, SpongeBob, and Squidward are obviously...
I love it.
They're the Conch Street crew. They're the ones everyone loves watching.
The Conch Street crew.
And they fleshed out characters in their world until we had a ton of characters that we love and care about. I even kind of care about some of the incidentals. I mean, all the people you see eating at the Krusty Krab. There's always... Everyone's had a moment that you can kind of remember.
Right.
But now I'm just kind of talking on the general strengths of the show. And maybe one day we'll talk more about the incidentals of SpongeBob, but that's going to take a lot of research.
You know, though, I love the little cards that it shows at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's always different.
It's always pretty. It's always different. This one is really pretty. It's got orange hibiscus flowers in the background. It's got some bubbly blue water underneath. Just such a pretty little title card. All these title cards kind of remind me of the Looney Tunes title cards.
Right.
Except they're a little more colorful. And, I don't know, title cards of the SpongeBob series has always been interesting. There's a couple that act a bit weird, though.
Right.
But that's not for today's discussion at all. But
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So we see the credits crawl, and even though this is not usually worth talking about, it's worth noting that I think this is actually a very important and nostalgic part of the show for me. Seems like no matter how far we get, we always get the shot of the writers and everyone working on the episode right before the episode starts. And this one has some pretty cool music. It kind of reminds me of, like, a really good party song or something. All the music of SpongeBob is silly. Maybe one day we should go over SpongeBob music. Because they, weirdly enough, all the background tracks do have proper names. And they're pretty interesting, to be honest. One thing I can immediately comment on, just the second that we start this episode, we see SpongeBob cleaning a table and all that. If you pause it while he's cleaning the table and before he goes to answer the phone, You can actually see a porthole out the side of the Krusty Krab behind SpongeBob. And it makes me remember that the Krusty Krab and, you know, all the locations in Bikini Bottom are kind of cartoonishly Euclidean, meaning, you know, details can be pulled away and added at will to fit the situation. A lot of people find that annoying, but I think it's actually kind of fun. You know, like, I like to think that...
It keeps it fun.
For me, personally, I find it that we're seeing cartoon versions of what people notice.
Right.
Like, there's always going to be a TV in the Krusty Krab on one of the supports.
Right.
But it's not really useful to the characters, so they wouldn't see it. They wouldn't think about it. You know, it's not like they're going, we have a TV, we have a TV, we have a TV. I'd like to think that porthole in the back is actually probably... Would you call that a drive-thru?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like, as well, who would man the drive-thru in a Krusty Krab shift? It feels like it has to be Squidward.
I would say Patrick, but he'd eat all the patties before they got to the customer.
Patrick. Oh, no. Oh.
I don't like to think about him being the one in the man's the drive-thru, though.
I mean, in volume 2 of our series recap, we practically proved that he knows how to do the Heimlich maneuver. That's the scary one for me, still. I don't know, I don't like that. I don't like it, Pauly. Oh, man, I need to stop doing the pizza family thing. I've been thinking about those shorts way too much. So, the Krusty crew get a late phone call right before closing, like a minute before closing, which, for all of my pizza pushing friends out there, I gotta admit, I feel like having to make a pizza 5 minutes before closing is probably the worst feeling ever.
Right?
Like, really?
It's gotta be. I mean, you're about to close and then you get a call wanting a pizza. It's like,
Like, you haven't had a customer for an hour, you know, all of that. I hate it when people don't have the courtesy to leave when it's closing.
Right.
Like, I've never done fast food work, but I can tell you, I can just feel the annoyance off of other people who have talked to me about it. But here we go. We have an item that's not even on the menu being ordered, but Mr. Krabs loves money. So, of course, he has pizza. That's something I gotta give Krabs, is he may be a shrewd businessman, but he'll have whatever you want if it makes him money.
Right.
As much as I'd love to make fun of him in this moment, you just kind of got to appreciate his craft. You know what I mean? It's so classically Mr. Krabs that it's actually... It gives me a smile anyways. Even though he's just being horrible to his employees.
Yeah.
He's never been known to be a charitable guy or nothing. And a lot of people have said that, like, lately he has been a bit more about money and money and money. But seriously, he's always been like that.
It's who he is.
He did kind of drop the care for other people a bit, I think.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of take issue, but it's ultimately not awful.
Right.
Or nothing. It's just what you gotta do. So after a big argument between Krabs and Squid, we go ahead, we beat a bunch of Krabby Patties down into
a pizza, and then he fashions a box somehow.
Literally, he doesn't... I
don't even know how he brings the box out. Where did
the plate go that the Krabby Patties were sitting on?
Right, and where did the box come from?
This is a beautiful bit of absurdity that I can only say is perfect for a good SpongeBob episode. It's got to have a little bit of improbability. no matter how little. Because if you just had SpongeBob minus the slight nonsense of every episode,
yeah, that it would be kind of boring.
Now they're going to check the boat, and SpongeBob is doing way too much. Squidward's just sitting in the boat waiting. And you can tell he's putting up with a lot. He's putting up with a lot, but you can tell Squidward likes SpongeBob whether he cares to admit it or not, because he's being really patient. After we see that he checks the bumper and the bumper sticker, I break for sea urchins.
Yeah. And it's got little sea urchins on each side of the sea urchins part.
Honestly, I've seen, like, the I stop for bumper stickers a lot in my life. I don't know if it has a sexual bend to it or not.
Right.
Or whether it's, like, they stop them so that way they don't hurt something.
Right.
I don't know what it's supposed to be.
I'm assuming since it's supposed to be a kid's show, it would be the one.
It would be the latter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say so, because, I mean, we do know behind the scenes they were making some pretty explicit drawings that we may not cover it. We might have some kind of subject video about it sometime, right. But we're going to say it's the latter. I do love how much SpongeBob just wants everything to work perfectly and check everything. But he does it a bit too much.
I wonder whose boat it is they're driving anyways.
I have to imagine it would be Mr. Krabs.
Probably. Because
if you think about it, the only person of the three Conch Street people who have a car that I know of was Patrick.
Right.
But that wasn't until seasons later. Mm-hmm. And obviously speaking, we know Squidward and SpongeBob walk to work.
Yeah.
Like, all the freaking time. I think literally my favorite part of the boat inspection is when he checks the tire pressure and just blows all over Squidward's face. It clearly annoys the crap out of Squidward, but again, he's being patient. Very patient. I don't care who says what. This is the first episode where you learn that Squidward does not hate SpongeBob.
Even though he says he does on numerous occasions.
Like, all the time. But he can't fool me. He might be able to fool other people, he can't fool me. So after they backed up, well, they're stuck.
And it's day now.
And unfortunately, Squidward eventually ends up kicking the stupid thing. It somehow gets its whole tank of fuel back, and the boat goes all the way back to the Krusty Krab, presumably. We never see it again in this episode. You know, this is all payment because Squidward was an asshole and just decided to make a student drive.
Yeah.
It should be no surprise that he's going to be lazy about it. He was forced to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be off by the time they're, like, done with the vehicle inspection.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly Squidward's fault, and all throughout the episode, I really wish he would have kept that in mind. So now, they clearly do not have a car. They are clearly miles out from where they're supposed to have been. And this is where the comedy begins.
And they have to deliver it all on her feet.
Now, the Krusty Krab pizza song makes its first, like, show in this part of the episode.
I love it.
It's absolutely fantastic. And SpongeBob starts the pioneer tricks. This one, I think, was hitchhiking that we're looking at right now. Truck 16 wheels. And I do like how even, like, the semis in this series are still boats. It's just really creatively designed.
I know, I love it.
And honestly, every little detail counts. Just look at this little still we're seeing right here. When SpongeBob is on the floor trying to hear the truck, you can see his eyes are slightly crossed and, like, not exactly lined up. His tongue is sticking out. Squidward has ate the dirt.
He knocked over Squidward.
Squidward's doing the upside down splits. He's splayed out in every direction. Because he tripped on SpongeBob.
It's funny.
This is just purely a masterpiece. I always forget about the trucker fish, but he thinks he's a breakdancer. I don't know why. That's just ridiculous. And now to the bulk of the conversation. My favorite joke in season one.
Mine too.
Season one favorite joke that it would be very hard to beat.
Right. So they're in the middle of a storm, and SpongeBob's getting blown all over the place, and he won't let go of the pizza.
Squidward's like, will you let go of the pizza?
And SpongeBob's like, no, it's for the customer.
Who cares about the customer?
Is what Squidward said. And then, like, even the storm stopped for a minute.
And they're like, SpongeBob's like, I do. Squidward's like, I don't.
Yeah, that's the part where, like, the storm stops and he's like, oh, Squidward.
And then it just keeps going. But here's the funny thing. The wind, like, the lines that kind of show that the wind is blowing.
I know, I like it.
All the sound effects. Everything stops.
So unique.
It is unique in a way of, like, even the ocean itself is like, how dare you? It's like everything just goes indignant for one quick second.
Right.
And I don't know why. Me and Brits always reference this moment in day-to-day life. It is so hard to get away from. And it's been a not constant, but pretty consistent theme through my whole life. You know, whenever I hear someone say, I don't care, or I don't, it's literally just the first thing that comes into my head. It's ingrained in my DNA now.
Right.
And I'm not going to say this is always going to be my favorite SpongeBob quote, but for some reason, I would say that is certainly going to be hard to beat. I can't think of a moment that's any better. Except for Sweet Victory's song, I think this might literally be my favorite of the whole show.
Mine is everything that Sandy's ever said.
Oh, God. She's just great. Oh, man. So they're in an underwater sandstorm, and clearly Squidward's just having a shitty time.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a point where I guess I should also make it clear, like, Squidward has kind of paid for his stupid actions already, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point where I feel like he's been sufficiently punished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and now they're just both in misery.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through this together. I've always wondered one thing in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Squidward really hated him before, but after all these horrible things that happened to them on this
mm-hmm.
trip back to Bikini Bottom and out here in the elements, I wonder if that's when he realized
right.
that he likes SpongeBob way more than he thinks. The chaos,
mm-hmm.
all the laughter, keeps his day-to-day just so interesting. And that's what I choose to believe he always did like SpongeBob, though. It's just always been a thought of mine that maybe this episode did it.
Right.
It's only just occurring to me. They get swept up in a tornado. They literally go through 9 layers of hell. Like, come on. These guys are determined. Or SpongeBob is, and Squidward is
literally
just
begging
to
him
deal
to
with
let
it.
Go of the pizza.
You can say whatever you want about SpongeBob being annoying, but underneath the annoying, you gotta admit, he is one really good worker.
Right.
He's not great at everything all the time or nothing, but...
But he is good at what he does at his job.
He shows up and he dedicates himself to doing the very best he can. And this episode is the number one example of it.
Right.
He is willing to face down deadly consequences to get the job done. And the facial expressions, I paused on Squidward having one of the weirdest looks I've ever seen him on. Facial expressions in the early season are just funny because they're able to go off model.
Yeah.
And I love it. After a particular parachute pizza scene, which is just great.
I love
it. We see more Pioneer shenanigans, but this time, there's not even a road.
Yeah.
And Squidward refuses, point blank, to listen to what SpongeBob says, Moss pointing to civilization, which, like I said in our Volume 2, we actually do know that is somewhat based in reality. I believe Moss actually, I found out, it's supposed to be pointing towards water sources. Which, if you follow a water to its source, it always takes you somewhere. So technically, it doesn't point to civilization, as I thought in Volume 2, but it's still about the same concept. There's a bit of truth behind it. Think Moss grows, like, pointing towards water because it needs water. And so, you know. It's always near it or pointing towards it. So Squidward not listening actually does cost them dearly whenever we see there's another town that isn't Bikini Bottom. I don't think this can be New Kelp City, though.
No. It's a weird little town.
It's got, like, I'm assuming we're seeing the zoomed out version like we see the zoomed out Bikini Bottom, so maybe it's bigger.
Right.
You know, maybe this is New Kelp City. We see a bunch of neon and stuff. And I bet you they could have got away back.
Right.
But this is exactly why Squidward needs to lighten up. I actually assume that the place we see is indeed New Kelp City. I'm not sure if we've ever seen a shot of New Kelp City like this.
I'm going to look one up.
But however, the thing is that there's neon. Even when you zoom out of Bikini Bottom, there's only a few little places. But you never see the Bargain Mart or nothing like that. You know, I've always assumed...
No, it's not New Kelp City.
Not New Kelp City. So this just must be another town.
I'm going to look up what town it is.
There's probably not a town that it's going to give you, though. I think the problem here is that this was just made to be a joke.
Right.
I'm going to call it Flower City, though. Because the big flower
right,
at the entrance.
I love it.
But we continue on as we see them head away from the little city. And they start getting really desperate. They're fighting over the pizza. Squidward tries to tempt SpongeBob by making him look at it.
Right.
And the fight continues on and on until the giant rock.
Right.
To me, the giant rock signifies what's right with SpongeBob as a series. The pure ridiculousness of driving a rock around.
I know.
There's no steering wheel.
So freaking funny.
SpongeBob literally just puts his hand out like he's holding a steering wheel to drive a rock. There's nothing there to hold on to. It's just the perfect amount of, like, Squidward getting his comeuppance because he doesn't believe in a thing SpongeBob says. Sadly, there is a bit of a problem that this episode has where it repeats this joke a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just supposed to be a stacking absurdity idea. It may do the same joke wholly throughout the whole episode.
Right. But
what kind of makes it best is that it gets more and more and more until the most insane thing is the rock.
Right.
You don't get crazier than that. And so Squidward has to put up with all these insane things SpongeBob is doing, and they're clearly working. And he doesn't rest on his laurels, you know, he really does not care. He does not think the next one's going to work, and if it would have continued on like this forever, he probably never would have cracked.
Right.
Because he just patently doesn't care what SpongeBob thinks. All of this probably could have been avoided if he would have just listened to the little yellow guy to begin with. So, we're finally at the customer's house. Keep in mind, there's been a lot of general jokes that we've had to leave out of this episode, because the jokes are kind of subjective, whether you find them funny or not. Just know that it's all good SpongeBob humor. It's so good. Some of it's funny. Some of it's visual, which we can't really talk about visuals on a show like this.
Right.
But this is the most highlightable moment for Squidward out of the whole episode. He gets mad.
Because SpongeBob's crying.
Like, this dude yelled at SpongeBob for not having a drink, his diet Dr. Kelp, and my God, SpongeBob's hurt, you know, and to be honest, after such a big freaking adventure to get this thing over, I'd probably be like SpongeBob, dude. Like, I'm not sensitive, but I am a little bit, like, if I've had a hard day and right. someone gives me that kind of thing, you better bet your ass I'm going to be pretty upset. And Squidward goes up there and just let him have it.
Makes him eat the whole pizza in one bite.
Nope. He slams it in the dude's face.
That's what I said, he makes him eat it. In one bite.
I assume he was wearing it. Yeah. I don't think he was eating it.
And then
he just lied to SpongeBob so that way he'd feel better.
Yeah.
But either way, it's unarguable in the fact that Squidward likes SpongeBob. This dude is not bad. So after all these trials and tribulations, they end up being feet from the Krusty Krab. It's just around the corner, said Squidward. All of this was because Squidward would not drive. Why did they drive? No reason. They walk further to get to their house. Why Squidward decided that it had to be a car just really demonstrates that this whole episode is Squidward's fault.
Right.
He should have just delivered it. In fact, going even before that, he wouldn't have had to take SpongeBob.
Right.
He could have just said to Mr. Krabs, well, once I deliver this, I'm just going to go straight home from the person's house because I'm not staying here.
Right.
If he wouldn't have complained, he wouldn't have had to take SpongeBob. He shouldn't have tried the car.
You know the craziest part?
What's that?
At the end, he just wants to go home. But SpongeBob says, oh, just enough just time to get to work.
Get back to work, yeah. And this whole episode just demonstrates the fact that all of this is just such a comedy masterpiece. If you are a SpongeBob fan, you need to watch this episode if you haven't.
Right.
It's so unlikely that you haven't, though. This is the most famous SpongeBob episode by leaps and bounds. There's a reason for it. I hope you guys have enjoyed our coverage of Pizza Delivery. Is this my favorite episode? No. It's definitely within the top 30 episodes, but considering all of its competition, make no mistake, this is a very good episode. It's nowhere near the best, but it is a demonstration of how good SpongeBob can be.
Right.
I just think there are a lot more unique and interesting episodes besides it, though. But, honestly, this is something I can probably watch on loop for days and never get bored with it. So, being that for a literal 11-minute segment, I'd say that is more than enough to consider this a masterpiece. Either way, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. If you heard any stupid sounds of my stomach gurgling, I'm actually kind of hungry right now. sorry about that. Hopefully we can take that out in post. Either way, my name has been John.
And I've been Britt.
She's been the beautiful.
He's been the nerdy.
And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye now.